We are so thankful and grateful that you guys are here. Thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us online as well. My name is Rick, and it truly is my privilege to be able to be the lead pastor here, and just so grateful to be able to do that. We are wrapping up a teaching series next week. We've been doing this all summer long, this idea of getting away. Justin's actually going to close out this whole teaching series, but today, what I want us to do is to come back to this idea of getting away, what we've been talking about all summer long, getting away to get closer. Just like you go on vacation and you get away with your family or your friends who you go on vacation with, you get closer to them. And the idea is that we get away to get closer to God. And today we want to zero in on this idea of when we get away, we need a new perspective. When we get away, it gives us a new perspective. When we get away and we unplug, when we unplug from the daily routine, and we put ourselves in unfamiliar territory, we put ourselves in unfamiliar surroundings, we get out of that daily grind, if you will. And let God speak to you. Let God give you new eyes, new perspective. This can happen. I know it can happen. It happened to me over my vacation. When I was away for those 4 weeks and I unplugged, when I was able to step outside of the daily operations, if you will, God spoke into me. You know, we all have a hope bucket, if you will. We live with these hope buckets. And what happens in carrying around these hope buckets that we have, they have little holes in them. And hope just leaks out. And so what you and I have to do is to make sure that we keep on pouring in more hope, that we keep on replenishing the hope. And when I was able to step away, I'm not going to lie, I had that my hope bucket was, it was draining. It was getting low. But God spoke hope into me. God was like, no, Rick, let's look at this as an opportunity and look at what I can do here and through our church. And in a couple of weeks, I'm excited to be able to share some of those thoughts, some of those ideas, some of the pivoting and the flexing that we're going to do when we walk into this new little mini series called Unshakable. But for today, I want you to be able to discover the same thing that I was able to discover. But first, let me ask you to ask yourself this question. What situation do you find yourself in that you feel hopeless? Or you feel like the hope is depleting out of you? What is that situation? You say, well, Rick, that's not a very fun question. That's not a very exciting question. This is Sunday. I'm supposed to, you know, be filled with hope. And you're asking me to think about what's draining me. Well, I want you to go there first. And because I want all of us to think about that situation. And you know, sometimes a picture's worth a thousand words, right? And so maybe you feel like this right now. Maybe the situation that you feel, that you see yourself in or that you find yourself in, it just seems like this lifeless desert. This is the Atacama Desert in Chile. And it is the driest place on the planet Earth, on our planet Earth. This is the driest desert. Barren. I mean, look at that. It's lifeless. And maybe that's what you find yourself in. You find yourself in this place that's barren, that's dry. And you're struggling. Well, today, we have to get to this place. We have to all find ourselves in this place of hopelessness so that we can discover hope. And this is why our bottom line is this. Hopelessness is the place where we discover hope. We all have to get to that place of hopelessness in our life so that God can show up and you and I can discover who God is, because He is the God of hope. And He brings hope into us. This morning, here's what we're going to do. We're going to discover whether it's about replenishing your hope bucket, refilling your hope bucket back up. There's three things that we need to do this morning in order for that to happen. That is acknowledge who God is, listen and respond to His Word, and pray for the Holy Spirit to empower you. We're going to see these three things right from the Scripture. So take your Bibles and go to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. Open your Bibles. go there or pull out your phone, you know, open up your Bible app. Ezekiel's in the Old Testament. I think you'll cross Jeremiah. It's a pretty large book. And then it's Lamentations and then Ezekiel. If you'll find Psalms and Proverbs, keep on going towards the New Testament. That's where you'll find Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 37. While you're turning there, just some context. Ezekiel started out as a priest. He's in Jerusalem. And Babylon came in, the Babylonians came in, and they captured the city of Jerusalem. They took many of them captive and took them back to the city of Babylon. And this is where, in chapter 1, we find Ezekiel. Ezekiel in chapter 1 is actually 5 years into the Babylonian captivity, where he is there. He goes from priest to prophet. God shows up and gives him a message and gives him these dreams or this vision and says, here's what you need to do now. You need to proclaim this message. And much of his message was this message of judgment upon the people of Israel. Why? Because the people of Israel had broken covenant. The people of Israel started worshiping other gods. So if this is God, then they've started putting other gods above the God of Israel, above Yahweh. And God said, you have broken that covenant. Now, this wasn't just like 1 week. This wasn't 2 weeks. This was years of them putting and prioritizing their life above who God is. God said, no, if we're going to be in covenant, I need to be here. And everything else flows like that. And they continued. They even practiced idolatry. They had all this idol worship that was going on. And God was like, enough is enough. I've had grace and I've had mercy. And just like a father or a mother who corrects their children to bring discipline into their life, this is what God is doing to his children. He's calling them back. He's saying, no, you can't continue to live like that. But in this message that Ezekiel got about God's judgment, in this message that Ezekiel received from God, that God's judgment is here and it is coming, in that message, all through it, is this message of hope. There's this message of hope, and we can't miss that in the book of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 11, God gives Ezekiel this message. In chapter 11, he says, there's going to be a day when I put my spirit inside of man. And when I do that, I'm going to take his hardened heart and I'm going to soften it. And when that happens, then you will be my people and I will be your God. And you will follow me and we will walk in relationship together the way it was supposed to be back in the beginning of creation and back in Genesis. So there's this message of hope. And then in Ezekiel chapter 33, Ezekiel is in Babylon and he gets word that the temple has been destroyed in Jerusalem. Now this was huge because the temple represented the place of God. It represented God's presence and his power. And now it had the Babylonians had decimated it. They had totally destroyed it. And so now he's carrying this heavy weight. What is going to... All hope is lost, Ezekiel. The people of Israel are feeling like all hope is lost. God's power, his presence, it's gone from our city, our nation. We are hopeless. Have you ever felt like that? The people of Israel are feeling like this. And then God comes up and he says, yes, this is part of my judgment, but there is hope coming. There is hope coming for you. And he reminds him in chapter 36 that God is going to take hardened hearts and make them soft again. And I'm going to walk with you and you're going to walk with me. And then in chapter 37, He gives Ezekiel this dream. He gives Ezekiel this vision of what is known as the Valley of Dry Bones. And it's an apocalyptic vision concerning Israel's future restoration. But it's this hope that God is trying to breathe back into his people. So let's jump in verse number 1. The Lord took hold of me. This is Ezekiel speaking. He's the author. He's writing this. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Now get this vision. I mean, you think about this. There are dry bones. And what has to happen in order for them to be completely dried out? A long period of time has to have happened, right? I go out jogging in the morning, and every once in a while, I'll come across roadkill. And when it's new roadkill, for the first couple of days when I'm running by there, it's like, there's roadkill. And you know, you run by it, right? Because it smells so stinky. But then a couple of weeks, you let that go by. And what happens? The flesh starts to deteriorate. The tissue starts to deteriorate. And pretty soon, all you see is a skeleton. You just see the jawbone and the teeth sitting there, right? I know it's disgusting, but this is what he is seeing. He's seeing this valley. He's seeing this valley of nothing but tens of thousands of bones laying out there as he looks across the valley, completely dried out. Now, what does this mean? Why would God give him a vision to see this valley full of dried bones? Well, if you slide down to verse number 11, God makes it so clear exactly what these dry bones mean. God said to me, Ezekiel, son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. So right away, we know these bones mean the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, God's people. And they are saying, these bones are saying, here's what they are saying. This is the imagery behind it. You've got all these bones, but here's what they are saying. We have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone, and our nation is finished. They have lost the very foundation of their hope. And I wonder if there are people in this room, or if there's people online, do you have the actual foundation of hope? Do you have the foundation of hope? And let me put it this way. I talked about that bucket of hope that we all have. Do you even have that bucket of hope in your life? You say, well, what do you mean by that? What I mean is, do you have the person of Jesus Christ as your Savior living inside of you? That's the foundation of our hope. Here's the way that the Apostle Paul put it in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life. Do you see what happened here? We were dead. You heard that movie Dead Men Walking, right? Or that phrase, Dead Men Walking. That's like what we were, or we are. Those of you who don't have the foundational hope of Jesus in your life, those of you who haven't placed your faith and trust in the person of Jesus Christ as your Savior, you and at one point, I was walking around like a dead man. That's what he said, that we were dead. Why? Because we were separated. We had no spiritual relationship with God until when? Until he gave us life. When did that happen? Oh, when God raised Christ from the dead. At that moment, when Jesus went to the cross and took upon my punishment, when he took upon my judgment for my sin, and all that deadness in my life, Jesus took it upon his life. And now, all of a sudden, once I acknowledge that, once I put my faith and trust in that, that becomes the foundation of the hope in my life. Now, all of a sudden, I have a hope bucket that can be filled with hope. I have this hope that can change, and here's why. Not because I did anything. Then that's what the Apostle Paul says here. Notice that he says, it's only by God's grace that you have been saved. It's not because you deserved it. It's not because you earned it, because we don't. It's only by God's grace, and that's the foundational hope. Do you have that? Do you have just the very foundation of hope? I'm not talking about, is your hope gone? And I'm not talking about, have you been depleted and you need to fill your hope bucket back up? I'm talking, do you even have the bucket in your life? If you don't, then here's what you need to do. You need to say, Rick, will you pray for me? I need to trust the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. If you would do that, would you lead us? Or would you text us? Text the word trust. Just text that word trust, 401-496-9710. Text that very word, trust. And if you will text that word trust to us, then we will reach out to you and we will be able to help you walk through that. But let's go on with our story. As we continue back in our text, in verse number 3, it says, "And then he asked me, 'Son of man,'" so this is God coming back to Ezekiel. So then he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones become living people again?" So here's God shows up to Ezekiel and says, "Hey, as you look at those tens of thousands of bones laying out there in the valley," he says, "Do you know, can they become life again? Can they become living again?" And of course, Ezekiel is thinking rationally. He's thinking logically. No, there's no way. But he doesn't say that out loud. You know what he says? He does this. He says, "Oh, sovereign Lord, oh, sovereign Lord," he says, "you alone know the answer to that. Only God, you are sovereign. In the middle of my hopelessness, God, you are still sovereign. In the middle of this hopeless time that this nation has, you are still hopeless. But God can be our hope." And this is what he is saying. He's reminding himself who God is. He's saying, "You are sovereign." This is key. If you're going to replenish your hope, this is key. You acknowledge who God is. He's sovereign. Your financial situation did not take God by surprise. Your relationship breakup did not take God by surprise. He understands that. He sees that. He knew that that was going to happen. Whatever your health issue is, God, that did not take him by surprise. He is sovereign and he's still in control. And that's our very first step in discovering hope or replenishing our hope, is acknowledging who God is. Do you do that on a daily basis? That's what you and I need to do. You and I need to acknowledge who God is on a daily basis. That he's sovereign, that he's in control, that he is the creator, and that he does have the power to breathe life into dirt and create life out of nothing. Back into our text in verse number 4. "And then God said to me, 'Speak a prophetic message to those bones and say,'" you see, what God is doing is he's come to Ezekiel and here's what I want you to do. He says, "Speak to those dry bones and say, 'Listen to the word of the Lord.' This is what the sovereign Lord says. 'Look, I am going to breathe into you and make you live again.'" He says, "I will put flesh and muscle on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord." And so I spoke this message. You see what he did? First he listened. And now he's saying, "So I spoke this very message that you gave to me. The message that you had given to me." He says, "I will speak this over those dry bones, over those hopeless situations." And he says, "Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley." Can't you just imagine that? Oh, you say, "How? This is so fairy tale." No. Do you remember the Pirates of the Caribbean? Come on. Captain Jack Sparrow, right? There he is in his boat. And as he looks out, there are skeletons driving that ship towards him, right? That's what's happening here. Where do you think they got the idea for the movie? Right here in Ezekiel 37. I'm kidding. That's not true. But maybe for Walking Dead, Rick and Carl. Who knows? Okay. But suddenly, as I spoke, there's a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each of these came together and they attached themselves as complete skeletons. And then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones, and then skin formed to cover the bodies, but they still had no breath in them. But you see, what in this we have exactly what God is calling us to do. Not only are we to acknowledge who God is, but we are to listen and respond to his word. And my question for you this morning, do you daily listen and respond to his word on a daily basis? Do you listen and not just listen, but do you respond? Are you responding to his word? Because in that word, in listening to his word, you know what you're going to hear? Love your neighbor. And you're going to be like, "No, surely not my neighbor. God, you didn't mean my neighbor. Man, do you know what they do over there? You don't want me to love them." And no, you are listening and responding. And we need to do this on a daily basis. Do you take the time to listen and respond?
when we do this, God will start filling you back up with hope. As you acknowledge who He is, as you listen and respond, He'll continue to replenish your hope. And then He said to me, speak a prophetic message to the winds, Son of Man. He said, speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again. And here's what you need to know. You need to know that the Hebrew word for breath, the Hebrew word for wind, is the same Hebrew word for the Spirit of God. And so here He is calling. What He's saying and what He's describing is that the Spirit of God will come into your hopeless situation, into these dry bones, and He will breathe life into them once again. And so I spoke this message and commanded, and as He commanded, and breath, do you see what happened there? Again, He listened and He responded, right? And as He listened and as He responded, what happened? Breath came into their bones and they all came to life. I mean, all those tens of thousands of bones that were laying out there, all of a sudden they stood up on their feet. And He said it was like a great army. And what was their hopelessness? It was that they had been defeated by one army after another army. One nation would come in and destroy Israel. But here He's saying, no. He says, I can breathe in your hopeless situation. I can put hope, and it's going to look like a great army. I don't know what your hopeless situation looks like, but God does. And what I can promise you is He can bring life. He can bring hope back into your hopeless situation. So, what we see in discovering hope or replenishing hope is that we have to acknowledge who God is. We have to listen and respond to God's word. And you and I have to pray that the Holy Spirit of God would empower us on a daily basis. Do you pray like that? Do you pray on a daily basis? Do you acknowledge who God is? Do you listen and respond? And do you pray that the Holy Spirit of God would empower you so that your hope bucket will get filled back up? Here we are back at the Atacama Desert in Chile, the driest place. NASA even sends people there who are studying Mars. They send them to this desert because of how barren it is. It was in 2015 that this desert received 7 years of rainfall within a 12-hour period of time. Within 12 hours, they received what they normally received over a 7-year period of time. And do you know what the result of that was? The result of that was these beautiful flowers, this beautiful life that came up in the middle of that desert. These white and these purple flowers that birthed. Look at all that vegetation that was there. It was already there. Someone didn't come and plant that. All of that life, all of that vegetation was there. And it was there in the hopelessness. But underneath that hopelessness was hope. Because this is what Jesus does. Man, He wants to do this in your life and in your situation. No matter what you're facing, He wants to bring this into you. Because it's in hopelessness is the place where we discover hope. Are you ready? Are you ready? Oh, somebody's clapping. We can clap for that because it's about Him. Are you ready to have your hope bucket filled up? Well, Linda, let's do this. Here's our next steps. Pray for me. Every Christ follower, what you'd be saying is, Rick, pray for me. I want your team praying for me to take these three action steps for God to breathe hope into my hopeless situation. If that is you, you know, here, you can fill it out on your connection card that you have. If you're watching online, look for that connection card link and you can do it there. Or you can just text the word pray. If you just text the word pray to that same number that you've been seeing, 401-496-9710. If you text that word pray, and then when you get that response, just click on that, fill that back out, and it will kick back to us. And when our team gathers this week, we will pray that you will take those action steps and that you will discover hope this week, because He can do it. He can bring life back into dead bones. That's what He does. But I'm also calling every Christ follower, please, every Christ follower that's in this room and that's online, will you hear me on this? This is the next step that I hope that all of us will take. Will you say, I want to bring hope to Rhode Island? Will you let this be your heart, that you want to see God come into our state and breathe hope into our state? And here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to join me. I'm asking our church family to join Pastor Dave's ministry called Together We Pray. Dave is asking for the Church of Rhode Island to come together in 9 different prayer assemblies starting on September the 19th. And then 9 consecutive days, there will be these prayer assemblies held across our state, calling the church to show up and to pray. Calling us to come and pray for repentance on our part, to call God and ask God to forgive us, to call and pray for our state, to ask that God would come and breathe hope back into our state. And you and I have 9 different times starting September the 19th from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. They're all 1 hour. They're all going to be held outside. Socially distancing is safe there. And you can pray and gather with the Church of Rhode Island. Because let me tell you, we've said this 100 times around here. We know we're not the only church in Rhode Island. We're not the only church in Rhode Island that has a heart for Rhode Island. And we want to gather with all the Christ followers in the state of Rhode Island and spread throughout these 9 different times throughout this state. And we want to pray and beg God to come and do something in our state this year. So won't you join? You go to this website, togetheradvancethegospel.com. You go to that website, togetheradvancethegospel.com. When you go to that website, what you'll do is click on, you'll see a 40 days icon, 40 days of love icon. Click on that, and then that next page, you'll see the 9 assemblies of prayer. It has it all mapped out. You will register so that they'll know that you're coming. Maybe you want to help make it all happen. You know, there's all different ways you can serve there. Also, what you'll see there, and this is really awesome, there'll be some people who will take the challenge to actually do the prayer walk and pray and prayer walk the whole state of Rhode Island. Because what's going to happen preceding each one of these 9 prayer assemblies throughout our state is there's going to be an all-day prayer walk where there are going to be Christ followers walking from point A to point B and praying throughout our state all day long. This is what our state needs. This is what you and I need. And man, we invite you to come and be a part of it. But what you have to do, this is not through us, you have to go to togetheradvancethegospel.com. And I hope that you will come and be a part of it.